faith as we have defined it is believing that God is telling the truth. I keep repeating that to myself because sometimes when you don't see what you want to see, you have to then ask yourself, how do I get to this point of actually seeing it come to pass? A lot of times when we talk faith, we think that we have to do something. And let me share this with you. You do. But you don't have to do what God's responsible for. You got to do what you're responsible. In other words, stay in your lane. Do I have anybody? Because faith without works is dead. Are you with me? Now, faith is believing that God is telling the truth and increasing what we already know. It is not just a superficial, supernatural experience. In fact, it's facts over feelings. It's function over feelings. On Friday night, we had a discussion with Alexis and I, and she said, you know, if she don't mind me sharing, okay, good. I want to get that disclaimer real quick. She had another job offer, but it wasn't what she wanted. Oh, I'm trying to help somebody. Watch this. Oftentimes, we are presented with opportunities, and we're like, we settle for the first thing. We don't wait for the next thing. But here's the thing. You can settle for this thing, but you got to keep putting your faith in different things to see what will come back. Is this making sense? This is how faith works. All right, so now watch this. So she had an offer. And to her own admission, when she called and said, you know, I thank you for the opportunity, you know, she said, I felt bad. I said, yeah, you felt bad, but you're going for better opportunity. So you got to take your feelings. So there's some things, hard things you're going to have to do on this faith journey. There's some people you're going to have to leave alone. There's some people you're going to have to let go. Come on, help me, somebody. There's some things you just got, some hard things, some things that are attached to you that if you don't get rid of it, watch this, you want to keep settling for less. And I told her on Friday, I said, you're going to get that job. Now, I said it, but I believed it. You understand what I'm saying? It's like, how do you believe something you're not sure of? But here's the thing. I was so sure of it because here's what I know. Write this down somewhere. No good thing does God withhold from them who loves him. You understand what I'm saying? So if I ain't trying to hurt nobody and I ain't doing nothing to hinder God's plan or hinder God's people, why would God not give it to me? Now I'm going to show you something. I only got 27 minutes. But I want you to see this, how this faith thing works. And it works. Faith in action is just that it's not so much you doing stuff as it is you believing. Remember, what is faith? Believing that God is telling the truth. But check this out. But when we ask for something, when we pray for something, and then it doesn't happen, that was your first test that you failed. Look at how you acted. God ain't fair. He ain't that. Shoot, I told you that face. I done sold my seat. I had a big need, but he didn't show up when I wanted to show up. See, I told you that stuff don't work, and that's the reason why you will never go to that next level. Because when you believe God, and if you say that God is telling the truth, then you gotta trust him no matter what you feel. Go back and listen to the 9 o'clock message. It ties in. And so, biblical faith does not deal with the unreal, the imaginary, the fictional, the visionary, the superficial, or deception. Biblical faith is knowledge based on experience and possession of things hoped for. Why would God not want me to have that? Why would God hold it back from me? Whenever I look at that and I say, Lord, why is this not happening for me? I say to myself, there's something I'm not doing. There's something in my faith category. Watch this. That's hindering. Do you know if you even have 1 ounce of doubt, it neutralizes faith? It paralyzes it? Did you know that? Well, now you do. Here's what I mean. 1 ounce of doubt. You say it, and then right quick, you're like, ever happened to you? I'm saying you get emotional, you do something, you're like, oh, shoot, I mean, I should have never done that. Shoot, I forgot I had rent. So. You know what I'm saying? That is the reason why you're still waiting. Because 1 ounce of doubt means you don't believe God is telling the truth. You with me? So I cannot have, just because they said no, it does not mean that it's a no. It's a no right now, but it ain't a no forever. And if you really look at yourself and you look at your life, you're like, you know, I wasn't ready for that. Let me ask a question. The things you got now, the things you have now, if you had it, where are my people at? Where y'all at? I know the kids left, but I know it emptied out the church. It's just us. Here's what I'm trying to say, right? If you would have gotten what you're getting now, you wouldn't be the same person, right? Listen, because you're mature now, you're stronger now, your faith has grown, right? So now you can handle. Man, it's every pastor's desire to have a big church. I mean, a mega church, you know. I'm good with where I am. And if you take care of the little, oh, I got something for that, y'all. If you treat the people on this level, come on and help me, somebody. When you get here, guess what? You're going to always remember, and I'm that kind of guy, I told you. I remember when. I play that game all the time. I remember when. Do I have anybody? Some of you need to learn how to play that game. Okay? Watch this. You got to know how to play that game. Say, oh, I remember when. Oh, I didn't have nothing. I remember how far. There you go. There you go. Amen. I remember how much I done messed up. Come on, help me. I call that recall. You got to have those moments, because that's the thing that will keep you. The problem with the children of Israel, you know what they suffer from? Ungratefulness. They took from God, and they expected God to keep doing for them, even though they were not returning to God what he asked them. He said, listen, all you got to do when you go into the land, all you got to do, follow me. Follow my word. And if you follow my word, guess what? Guess what's going to happen? You're going to be blessed. Deuteronomy 30. You're going to be blessed. You think they, when they went in, they did that? You know why? Because they started to enjoy the luxury of life. Some of us, the reason why we stay at the end of trouble all the time, and tribulations, and trials, and frustrations, because God knows the moment I let up, guess what you're going to do? You're going to fall back. So I'm going to keep you right there at the end of that. So guess what? So I can keep you honest until you mature. Oh, thank you for discipline. Lord, thank you for disciplining me. Thank you, Lord, because you know why I say that? Watch this. Because here's what you need to know. The Bible says that who he does not discipline ain't his child. He says you're illegitimate. You the outside child. That's what illegitimate means. And he says, whom the Lord loves, he disciplines for their good. Then he goes on to say in that same passage, he said, do you remember your fathers and mothers? When they whooped you according to how they felt. I'm whooping you because I love you. Is that love? I call that child abuse. Talking about love. You throwing everything. My reflexes got good, man. I jumped out of windows, all kinds of, my mom used to abuse us, man, like anything she could find. It come flying. Because she felt. But God says, when I do it to you, I do it for you. For your good. And then he says, no discipline in the moment feels good. Oh, I'm finna hope somebody write this down in your notes. Stop looking for feelings only. He made you feel good, but he ain't no good. Oh, Lord, I'm treading Sister Hunt, tighten up her bow. Yeah, he made you feel good, but he ain't no good. No, he can't. He will never get a job. Okay, he doesn't want to work. He has options. You're one of them. Okay, and guess what? As long as you keep financing his weed trips, guess what? And you, I can do without him. I can't do without him. You can do bad by yourself. What I need you to help me to be worse. This ain't a relationship message, but I mean it's going there. And so now I only got 17 minutes left. And so look. I told you the context to this passage, right? What's the context? Pressure. Right? And they had so much pressure and so many problems, right, that there were people coming in telling them, you ain't got to go to church. Some of you don't think you have to come to church to get it because, you know, you got this little personal relationship with God. And I know you do, boo. I know it's cool. But he says, when you get under pressure, the first thing you want to quit is church. So that's why he wrote this right here. Right here. He says, where it is, where to be at? He says, now some of you are shrinking back. Verse 39, chapter 10. Chapter 10, he says, but we do not shrink back. We are not of those who what? Shrink back to what? Destruction. See that? But of those who have faith to the what? Persevering of the soul. He says, the moment you get mad or you come under pressure, first place you want to stop going. When you're going through, you don't stop going to the club. You don't stop going to the kickbacks. You don't stop going to the grocery store. You don't stop going to the restaurant. You don't stop eating. But why is it that when you're going through, he says, the first thing you do is you say, I ain't going to church. Huh? Go to verse 25. He says, not forsaking what? Our assembling together, as is the what? Habit of some. See that? But encouraging what? Yes. Can I say this to you? You need the community of faith for encouragement. Amen? We need one another. The reason why I had you to testify or ask for testimonies today is because I wanted to encourage somebody to know, yeah, you may not be hireable right now. Come on, help me, somebody. You may have some problems right now. You may have some situations going on in your life right now. I could keep saying it from the pulpit, but here's what I want to show you, that there's some real life people here that God is blessing, and guess what? They are going to rise to the top, and you can do that too. Do I have anybody? And so I want to show you something. I want to show you just this one verse. Now, he goes from the definition of faith from verses 1 and verse 2. Verse 1 and verse 2 is what we call the definition of faith. Verse 3 now and on. We're going to be in this chapter for a minute. I'm going to take each one and I'm going to break them down, okay? Watch what he's doing in this text. What he's doing is he gives us the definition. And then he says, let me show you what it looks like. Is this making sense? All right? It's making sense? I want to show you what faith looks like in action. Faith in what? Action. Faith in action. Watch this. You ready? It's interesting. So we call this the Hall of Faith. Because what he did is he starts in the Old Testament and he goes all the way through to all the patriarchs and all of the people of God who came before us that walked by faith. But watch this. He doesn't start with Abraham. He doesn't start with Abel. He doesn't start with Enoch. We're going to learn these characters in the next coming weeks. Watch this. But he starts with God. Lord have mercy. He starts with who? God. Who does he start with? God. How many have been trying to figure out the faith thing for a minute? Yeah, we all been trying to figure this thing out, right? Talking about we walk by faith. No, listen, you have a clue, but you don't really know. You got to come get this thing. So watch this. Because once you step out, you say you're going to do it, then you start having doubts. You're like, oh, Lord, I'm going to go back in my shoe. I'm going to go back home. But watch this. He says, notice how. I want you to do a comparison with me. Look at verse 1. What's the first two words in verse 1? Put it on the screen for me. Now faith. Now go to verse 3 now. Come on, y'all. Tell your neighbor, faith in action. He says, now faith. That's the context. That's the description. The definition. But now he says, by faith. Let's see what faith can do. First thing he says, by faith. So here's the first thing I want to give you. Our faith in anything you do, right? In anything you do, our faith has to be the starting point for everything. So if you say you're going to buy a new car, you got to start with faith. If you say you're going to get a new job, by faith. If you say you're going to, whatever you're going to do, your starting point for every single thing you do for the rest of your life has to start by faith. What do I mean? What do I mean? Okay, all right, okay. Pastor, we're going to renovate the church. We need this amount of money. I need 10 people to pledge this amount of money. You've already pledged by faith. Don't see, the reason why we didn't get the full amount, because you're looking at your pockets now. You're not looking at what God can do by faith. Do you not know that God doesn't need deadlines? By faith? Come on, help me, somebody. You want to improve your situation? By faith. Well, what do you mean by faith? What is faith? Believing that God is telling the truth. God, because you're telling the truth, I'm going to pledge because I believe. By faith. Every single thing, every plan. You want to get out of debt? Picture yourself already out of debt. Y'all don't want to finish. Oh, Lord. Y'all ain't hear me. You want to move forward? You want to buy a home? You want to grow your Christian life? Your starting point. Now, why do I say that? Because if God, who created the universe, started, what's up with you? Oh, I need a business plan. And I need this and I need that. That comes after your faith. I'm already going to do it. Sign me up. Come on, help me, somebody. Your mother's going to put your name on there. You don't even know where we're taking you. We could be taking you to Taco Bell. But by faith, you're going to, about the money we got. but put your name on there. By what? By faith. Somebody said, I'll take a taco. Shoot, that's all right. We paying. Oh, yeah, we paying. We big timing. By faith. I'm going to say it one more time. By faith, I see 100 men in this church. Successful men, too. Not broke down. Spiritual men. Men who love God. Men who can marry some of y'all. And take y'all all up the street, up the block, somewhere. And then, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. By what? By faith. I need some of y'all to get married. I do. I want to see you get married. I want to see. We need some kids up in this church. No kids. Okay, all right. I stressed a little bit. All right, okay. Don't worry about the kids thing. All right, okay. Strike that. Strike that by faith. But he says he'll make you fruitful and you'll multiply. By what? That's how we got to do it. I believe a lot of times when we leave here on Monday, when we get slammed with everything, we stop doing it by faith. We're just doing it. We're just living it. We got to get back on the faith saddle. Just because it got bad doesn't mean it's going to be like that all the time. So the starting point, so from now on, let me say this. Now faith is the byproduct of everything we actually see. The first verse is now faith. Now, do you first believe that God is your creator? Let's go to the next part. He says, by faith, we, hold on, who's the we? Okay, no. Christians, people who have confessed Jesus Christ in their heart, this ain't for everybody. But how is it that the world, you see them building big buildings, and you see, how do they do that? Credit. Other people money. FTX, if you ever heard of FTX, Bitcoin, all right? This fella built a whole picture of himself that he was so successful, and he was just scheming on people. That's how the world does it. But when we do it, we. There's a difference between we and them. We. Bloodbath. Sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, saved, transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the glorious light. We, Christians, we have an understanding. Now, this word for understand, it means to think. Imagine that. It means to what? To think. Now, it's in the present indicative active. What does that mean, Pastor? Tell you what. It means we understand now and we keep on understanding. And we do not stop understanding. As a matter of fact, our understanding begins to grow and we get knowledge. After knowledge, we get a thing called epinosis. That means that now what's happening is you're going from just knowing something to actually applying something. And that's the point that he's trying to say. He says, as a believer of Jesus Christ, we don't question where we came from. This is not a Big Bang theory. This is not natural selection. This is not oops. Everything just came together just because he says we understand. And so here's the thing you need to know. You ready? The next thing you need to know is this: our faith must be rooted in biblical thinking. In what? Listen, because the world thinks logically, science, worldly thinking. They got all this stuff going on right now where people are questioning where the word come from. Listen, there's some things I'm leaving that alone. I got an answer for it. But if you and I are getting an argument over where the word came from, then we ain't got no conversation. Because the Bible tells me that I ought not to get into those types of conversation. You're not trying to teach me anything about what I already believe. Now, if you want to learn something, we can have a civilized conversation. But you got to watch out for people who raise speculations against the knowledge of God. Can I tell you what that is? That's satanic. And anybody that will try to get you to believe that the word of God is not true or whatever it is to them, then you have a big problem. See, here's what I know. What I know is that the word of God is inerrant. That means that there's no errors in it. The word of God is infallible, which means it will never let you down. And number three, the word of God is inspired by God. It's his very breath. And can I help somebody with this? Some of you are struggling with the what question, the why question. You're struggling because you're trying to figure it out. But I want to tell you something. People are trying to prove this. But you got to know the only person that got a problem with the word of God is the one whose mind is blinded by Satan. Do I have anybody here? The word of God is infallible. The word of God is inerrant. The word of God is inspired by God. And if you're going to put your faith in action, you have to think biblically. You have to have biblical thoughts. How does that work, Pastor? You have to say, okay, God, your word said, I've been young and now I'm old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor their seed begging bread. God, your word said that greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Do I have anybody? And I stop by to tell somebody that the devil wants you to doubt this Bible that you have. But I stop by to tell you that the word is true. It is true, and it has been proven that it's true. Yeah, I know you can read for yourself. But when you read, you have to apply. The text says, by faith we understand. What do we understand? Let's look at it. That the worlds were prepared by what? By the word of God. No, by the word of God. That the world was created or prepared by the what? Word of God. I don't know if you read your Bible a lot, but I want to tell you something. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 1, Bereshith Bitha Hitha Tamai. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Do I have anybody here today? Now, you could take it up with him if you'd like to. But the Bible tells me that this world was created by the word of God. I wish I had somebody. The Bible says that God called light day, and darkness he called light. In other words, what I'm trying to say is God just spoke it and it happened. What I'm trying to tell you, God did not take material and made the material. Come on, help me somebody. That wouldn't be powerful enough. Look at you. Look at how you're made. You are a special creature. You got eyes that you can see that takes over a billion pictures a day. Come on and help me somebody. You got a mind that scientists can't even, they don't have a clue. They just be guessing. What I'm trying to tell you is, if God took something that was made and made something, he wouldn't be God. I wish I had somebody. And what the writer is telling us is that God created this world by the word of God, by speaking it into existence. You ain't God though, so don't try that. Here's what I'm trying to tell you. You got to take God's word, open your mouth, and speak his word into that situation, into that circumstance, and then you can prove that his word is true. I wish I had a few people here. And so the third thing you got to do is remember this: our faith must be rooted in believing that God's word is true. See, that's where we struggle. God said, let there be light, and there was light. So to doubt the Bible, you ready? Ready? Let me show you why some of you don't have faith. Not all of you. I said something, didn't I? Some of us don't have faith because we doubt the word. And doubt weakens your faith. So here's the thing. The world that you're looking at was created by someone greater than you. Right? So he said it. He said, by the way, when it says in the beginning, that wasn't the beginning. That was the beginning of time for us. So the worlds and what was, God had already been there. Satan was cast down on earth. That's why the earth was in darkness. Because Satan was already a resident down here. In the book of Job, he says, where did you come from? I come from roaming around the world, looking for someone. I'm just, you know, Satan is just this guy that just not never satisfied. He's not satisfied until he can take you out and take you out of the Word of God. If he can get you reading all kinds of other books, Nancy Drew or whatever else you read, here's what I'm trying to say. We don't even read no more. But here's the thing. If he can get you reading all this other stuff, but don't get you in this word, he's got you. But you have to believe that the God's word is what? True. Because watch this. All that we see, every detail of the universe was first written in the word of God. Revealed to man, but not the natural man. The natural man cannot understand the fact that the worlds were created by God just saying, let there be light. That's a deep concept. Logically, it makes no sense. But here's the thing. You can't make sense of God. He's pure actuality with no potentiality. What do I mean by that? Well, if God needed potential, that means he needed to grow. God is perfect in every way. God is pure in every way. God is holy. God is loving. God is kind. And when you know God, and when you read his word, you say, I don't understand his word. We got all kinds of translations today that can better help you to understand. But when you forsake Bible study every week, then you can't learn the word, because how can they hear without a preacher? See, God knew what he was doing. He took the foolish things of this world to shame the wise. That's why I'm standing here today as a fool, not as an educated man, not as a man with all kinds of letters behind my name. No, because God has taken the foolish things of this world to shame the wise. He takes the weak things of the world to show the world you ain't got nothing going on. I created the world. Satan corrupted the world, but guess what? You have the word of God. And when you have the word of God, you can have faith. You can have faith. And by faith, you can conquer whatever it is. You stand on his word. You say, God, I'm going to stand on your word. Your word is pure. Your word is true. Nobody can convince me that this book was not inspired by God. And when you read it, when you absorb it, when you live it, your life changes. Your life don't change just because you say a couple of good things. Your life changes when you pick it up, when you study to show thyself approved, a workman who needs not be ashamed, rightfully dividing the word of truth. The word of God is living, it's active, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and is able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Can I help you with something? The word of God is how you grow your faith. The word of God is how you level up. The word of God is how you get to that next level in your faith. You got to find the scripture. My God will supply all my needs. I'm going to stop worrying, because Matthew chapter 6 says this. Quit worrying, because your heavenly Father knows what you need. But seek first his kingdom, his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. The last thing I want to leave you with, he says, the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. Our faith must be rooted in God alone. I'm going to say it one more time. In God That's the last point. In God alone. I'm going to say it one more time. In God alone. In God alone. Tell your neighbor. Neighbor. S. Speak it. B. Believe it. A. Act on it. Tell your neighbor. Neighbor. You got to SBA it. You got to speak it. You got to believe it. And you got to act on it. The world was created by God's word. Out of nothing came something. Why? Because God is amazing. God is awesome. God is wonderful. Do you know him? Have you tried him? Is he all right? Oh, let's talk about Jesus. Jesus came down 42 generations to save a wretch like me. I wish I had somebody here today. I feel real happy today. And here's why I'm happy. I've cracked the code on faith. I've cracked the code on faith. So Monday, I'm going to go to Genesis. Tuesday, I'm going to go to Exodus. Wednesday, I'm going to go to Revelation. I wish I had a few people. When I get in the Word, it gives me strength. It gives me what I need. Because what I see was never created out of something that I see. Thanks be to God that he is the first cause, the last cause, and the cause of everything you see. That chair you sit in was created for him, by him, and through him. So everything holds together through him. Don't you know him? Who's the him? Jesus, Mary's baby, born in a manger, didn't have no room for him. Oh, I wish I had a few people here. They hung him high. They stretched him wide. They dropped him low, put him in a borrowed tomb. But early, I said early, Sunday morning, he got up with all power, with all power. Power, power. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. I'm glad today that I figured it out, that by his Word, by his Word, we are here today. When you were in your mother's womb, he already named you. Oh, I wish I had somebody. He already knew you. He developed you. And he's going to bless you. And he brought you this far by faith. Aren't you glad? You know, if you walk quiet, if you go into a forest and you stumble upon a ball, the natural assumption would be that someone put it there. You would assume that someone was there before you. If you stumble upon a very large ball, like a ball size of a house, you'd assume that someone really big had put that ball there. Suppose the ball is the size of the planet, then someone really big would have put it there. Listen. He starts off saying to us, creation, everything you see was created. And he gives you the source, the Word of God. Saints, whatever you're seeking, search for it first in the Word. God, how do I handle this situation? By faith. but you got to put your faith in action. Because, you know, James gave us something. James, the brother of Jesus. James, the brother of Jesus, who denied you. He shared clothes with Jesus. Played marbles with Jesus. They played tic-tac-toe. As a matter of fact, when I went to Jerusalem, to Bethlehem, they have, like, on the streets, cobblestones, right? But these stones, they're layered on top of other layers, and you could see how kids used to play, and they literally have the little games they used to play. And our guide was telling us, this is the streets that Jesus walked as a child and played on by faith. You see, some of you can go to that next level, but you got to do it by faith. But you got to believe. Don't just tote the Bible. Don't just quote the Bible. Don't just look at your Bible. Read it and study it. James says, the one who hears the word and does not apply it is like a man that looks himself in the mirror. Remember what you looked like when you left home today? Let me tell you what you look like now. Lipstick got off a little bit. Yeah, you know, you understand what I'm saying. You need to fix that up a little bit. But see, when you left home, it was sharp. But you don't know what, you don't remember what you looked like when you left home. He says, that's what it's like when you hear the word and don't apply it. You're just a forgetful hearer, and you listen, you're going to be the same tomorrow. No change is going to come.